From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Monday, October 16th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how schools are using new safety technology and training to prepare for school shootings. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The state of Illinois is investing an additional $10 million in Israeli government bonds. State Treasurer Michael Frerich says the investment is in direct response to Hamas's attack on Israel last weekend.
Israel is now at war, and this is our way to show, with action and deeds as well as words, that we want to do what we can in this time of need.
The state has been investing funds in Israeli bonds for more than 70 years. Frerich says it's a sign of the strong relationship between Illinois and Israel. Frerich says the bonds have proven to be a safe investment with good returns. New legislation in Springfield could change how cannabis gets from grow facilities to dispensaries. Alex Stegman reports.
State Representative LaShawn Ford of Chicago says a lot of people with licenses to transport marijuana aren't getting business. He says big cannabis companies like Cresco and Verano are using pandemic rules that let them transport their own product. His bill would stop that.
The cultivation centers, the craft growers and infusers shall not be able to transport cannabis or cannabis-infused products, and they must use a third-party transporter.
Ford hopes that helps kickstart business for third-party transporters. Since a bill proposing broad changes to Illinois' cannabis law stalled last spring, Ford hopes smaller changes like this are more doable. I'm Alex Stegman.
The Fighting Illini football team defeated the Maryland Terrapins 27-24 Saturday. IPM News reporter Colin Highslope has more.
As time expired, Illinois kicker Caleb Griffin booted a 43-yard field goal through the uprights to give Illinois a three-point road win. This is the first Big Ten Conference win of the season for the Illini, and is also the first win against a Power 5 conference opponent. Head Illini football coach Brett Bielma spoke after the game about who ultimately decides where the Illini go.
It doesn't matter what we want as coaches, it's what they want as players. And I told them routinely, this is in your hands. You know, we're going to coach you, play you, put you in a position, but somebody's got to step forward, and some of those guys did that today.
Illinois plays their next game at home against the Wisconsin Badgers on Saturday, October 21st at 2:30 p.m. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Like many colleges in the U.S., the University of Illinois is in a housing shortage. That's due in part to the Urbana campus welcoming its largest freshman class in history. Illinois Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton reports more than 250 students were placed in temporary housing.
The number of students in temporary housing this semester is about as high as it was 2 years ago, when students who were online for their first year due to the pandemic had to fulfill their on-campus living requirement. The campus is now working to move students out of spaces like study lounge-turned-dorm rooms into permanent living spaces. Freshman Mary McQuaid got a new dorm room this month. She says students in temporary housing face a lot of uncertainty.
I had no idea when I was going to be moved. It could have been way later next semester. It could have been the first week I got there. So it kind of just created a little bit of an unsettling feeling for me.
U of I's housing director says the goal is to move all students into permanent living spaces by the start of the spring semester. I'm Alyssa Eaton, Illinois Student Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn more about how schools are using new safety technology and training to prepare for school shootings. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
A co-production of Real South and Independent Lens, A Town Called Victoria is a three-part docuseries examining the resiliency of a community after an act of arson at a Texas mosque. Friends of WILL receive exclusive early streaming access beginning October 14th. Learn how you can receive early access to the best of PBS with WILL Passport at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. New federal data shows that in the 2021-22 school year, there were nearly 200 school shootings with fatalities. That's the largest number ever. Peter Medlin reports that in the new school year, many districts are investing in new school safety training and technology. And a note for listeners, this story includes descriptions of violence.
Mine's on here super tight. I mean, I guess that's supposed to be.
Jimena Sanchez wraps a combat application tourniquet around her arm. She secures the Velcro band and twists the windlass as tight as she can to stop life-threatening bleeding. Sanchez is a fifth grade teacher, only weeks into her first year at the Kankakee School District. But she's not in an emergency. She and a group of other teachers are taking a Stop the Bleed course. It's a program that started back in 2015 to be essentially CPR training for bleeding. And as the rate of mass shootings and school shootings continue to rise, more and more schools like Kankakee are training their teachers how to stop the bleed. Dana Arsenault is a trauma coordinator at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee, and she's one of the nurses leading the training.
So we teach tourniquet care, and we teach how to put pressure and how to find bleeding, what life-threatening bleeding is, what non-life-threatening bleeding is, and basically we teach them how to stop it.
She says the number one cause of preventable death in trauma is bleeding, because it only takes 2 minutes. And Arsenault says two ways to identify life-threatening bleeding are if it has a pulse or if it's pooling. The teachers take turns applying the military-grade tourniquets on each other and themselves. Arsenault coaches them through school shooting scenarios and uses a fake leg to show how to properly stuff gauze into a wound. If you're not safe, you can't help others. No gauze in the classroom? Grab a shirt or a flag off the wall if you need to apply pressure to a wound. School lanyards make great makeshift tourniquets. And the educators see that the combat tourniquets only cost about $20 on Amazon if they want to get some for their classroom go bags. And since they're teachers, the trauma nurse talks about how to use these techniques when you're saving small children from bullet or knife wounds.
So a lot of times you don't even have to put a tourniquet on them. You can just put pressure. They are not going to be sitting there nice and calm, right? So we have to distract the bejesus out of them. This is another good job for all of those little helpers in the room who want to help out, get somebody in their face, and you need to hide whatever is going on. So if you place a tourniquet on, you're going to cover it up so that they can't see it.
Sanchez knows it's necessary and thought the training was helpful, but it's still really sad. She's just a few weeks into her teaching career, and it's already something her 10-year-old fifth grade students bring up to her.
Literally, like, when my kids first came into my classroom, they're like, oh, there's a closet in there. Like, so if someone came and shot the school, like, we'll all go inside the closet. And it's like, it was just really sad. Like, I'm glad that they're thinking about their safety, but I just was kind of like, they didn't have to.
At Rockford Public Schools, they're investing heavily into school safety technology. The district is spending $2.5 million on new Evolve weapons detection systems. They're not metal detectors. It uses AI and sensors to identify if a person likely has a weapon. Jason Barthel is the chief information officer for Rockford Public Schools, and he says they've installed the systems at every high school starting this fall, and that students walk through the doors as usual with a few staff members monitoring the system in case of an alert.
I have a tablet in front of me and it'll put like a red box around where that alert was. I can pull that student aside, continue letting everybody else walk through.
He says the system was developed for arenas, stadiums, and amusement parks, but over the past few years, hundreds of school districts like Rockford have installed them.
We send about 8,000, a little over 8,000 kids through this thing on a daily basis in about 25 minutes. And we're seeing, we started off about 8 to 11% alert rate, alarm rate.
That means around 10% of students are pulled off to the side to be searched after setting off the alarm. But it's not weapons that are setting it off. It's eyeglass cases, Chromebooks, among other everyday objects. Barthel says they've yet to have a real weapon identified with the system, and he says he expects the false alarm rate to go down. A 2022 BBC report questioned if Evolve systems are as effective as they claim, but Barthel says that's not a concern. And Barthel says the district paid for the Evolve system with funds already allocated to their technology budget.
We've heard from parents and the community through surveys that people are concerned about safety and security in the building. So let's add this to our tool set, and we can do it without costing the taxpayer another dollar.
Mass shooting fears aren't going away. And since schools can't pass legislation, all they can do is apply a tourniquet or build up defenses to make students, staff, and families feel more protected when they walk into class or drop their kids off. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly cloudy with a high of 59 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Alex Stegman, Alyssa Eaton, Colin Highslope and Peter Medlin. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.